Hope you feel welcome and at home and relaxed as we worship God together. Special welcome to another of my friends in this summer of Nick and his mates, or Nick inviting his mates to do the services. Martin Russell was a member at our church in Markham Harbour Baptist, and we became close friends doing home groups and evangelistic events and all sorts of stuff. And he preached for us there then, and so I was really delighted to be able to preach for him here and now. Very briefly, fire notices. If we have a fire, because Martin's preaching really inflames us, then we shout fire, you run there or there if there's blocked. Drinks and refreshments served afterwards in the community hall. Just for, turn left before you get to Brian, and you'd be very welcome to stay behind, and we'd love to get to know you. And Roy at the back does like to send photos and put things on Facebook. We do know some of you already said you'd rather not have that. We are aware of that. But Roy will not be taking photos around this area, so if you want to make sure, you can always move there. September, prayer diary and notice sheet. Thank you very much to Margaret for preparing this for us. The new green leaflets are at the back. If you'd like to collect your fresh prayer diary and notice sheet, then please do that before you leave. This is the wrong direction for being able to look at it. Reminder, we have our weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. You're very welcome to join us in the community hall. And then in the afternoon, there's the Craft and Chat group. Forthcoming events. This time next week, we will have another cafe church. So the church will be laid out differently, like it was last time we had cafe church with the six tables. And we'll be looking again at our vision as a church and how we see God leading us in the future. Last time, we looked very much about what the church meant to us, what we felt, what its importance was, the things we missed, and where we would like to see it going. Next week, we're going to look much more at the community around and think about our outreach and our mission and where God's calling us for outreach and mission. Because if we only equip a church to look after us, then it will die. And our core heart, our core belief is that Christ commissioned us to preach, baptize, and make disciples. And how can we do that? How can we serve the community? So that's going to be the focus for our cafe church next week. And then the week after that, we have a shared service. We have a visiting speaker from BMS coming to talk to us about the work of BMS, and particularly our link missionaries, Mark and Andrea Hodgkins in Chad. And that is going to be a joint service at Carey Baptist Church. And we would really like to encourage you not to look at this as a week off, but to come and share in the fellowship and share in the worship with Carey Baptist, because many of us in leadership feel that there's a future to be had with the three churches in Kettering, the three Baptist churches in Kettering, to do with mission. And it's important that we start to get to know each other and we share fellowship with each other. So quite apart from the importance of the BMS and hearing about that work, I think it's also really important that we start to get to know the members from Carey and Fuller and work out our shared vision and mission together. Before that, on Saturday in a fortnight, we have Ride and Stride. We've opened the church for Ride and Stride. We do that every year. And we take the opportunity whilst the church is open to do a bit of a clean. So the church will be open from 9 o'clock. Who's coming at 9, actually? Well, maybe 9. I'll be here at 9 if nobody else is. So coming at 9, and we're going to, you know, do some cleaning, clear out some cobwebs that maybe we've not noticed before. And that's a really good time of fellowship. So if you're free and would like to come to do that. And then church meeting. We've delayed the church meeting by a week. It was going to be on the 17th. It's now going to be on the 24th of September. So the 24th of September is our church meeting and church lunch. And the reason for that is because we have a nomination for a church secretary. So we are now opening nominations for church secretary. There are slips in the office. If there's somebody that you feel you want to nominate, then come and ask me and I'll be taking the nominations. But because the deacons have to review, according to our constitution, the deacons review the nominations before they're put out to the church. the deacons' meeting isn't until the 10th of September, so to allow time for us to review, then to publish the names to you before we get to the vote, we needed 2 weeks between the diaconate and the church meeting. So I hope that's okay. We're just trying to follow due process and all the rest of it. So nominations open for church secretary to me by midday on the 10th of September, which of course is when we're at Carey. We will then review them as diaconate, and we will put those names forward for the church meeting on the 24th of September. Apologise for that quantity of notices, but now I'm going to hand over to Martin, who's going to lead our worship. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for the welcome. Nice to be here. Talking about excuse my breath. Talking about churches. Bring greetings from Market Harbour Baptist Church across the other side of the county. There you go. But, greetings to you all. I've also I went to a church at Belper a couple of weeks ago, and they had tables all around there, and it was like this, like you're proposing, and it was wonderful. You had a cup of tea whilst you're having church, which was fine. But we're here to worship God, and let's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to be speaking about the Father heart of God, and I want you to receive and understand God loves each single one of you. He has a purpose and a reason, and he gives reason in your life. So as we explore that together, that's the general theme. So please take that home as the theme for today. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you that we can be here. We thank you just for the opportunity to praise and worship you. And that's on our heart this morning, Lord. We choose to worship you. We choose to praise you from the height. We thank you that you have enabled us to come here. And we pray, Lord, that you would receive what's yours already, that place of glory and honour that's due your holy name. Amen. Psalm 148 says, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. What does it mean? It means praise him. Praise him and praise him again. We're going to start by singing a song, Psalm 264 in Mission Praise, and it's a statement of faith. So we, as we stand, as we sing, we are making a statement of faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. So if you're able, let's stand and let's sing. I'm going to stand to one side. Let's stand.
Let's remain
standing. It's in Nehemiah 9, it says, "Stand up and praise the Lord, your God, for he is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your name." It's a song, relatively new song by Matt Redman. "Blessed be your name. May your name be exalted and praised." Amen. This is just me. I apologise. You'll catch you up with it. Thanks for those wonderful words, Lord. Blessed be your name. And that's what we want to do, Lord. We want to praise your name today. We want to learn from your word. Amen. I want to tell you a story, as the joke goes. We're going to be talking later on, we're reading from Luke, about what's called the prodigal son. But I like to call it the loving father. And I want to tell you a story. It's very close to my heart. We have three children, two boys and a girl. My eldest boy is coming to see us on Monday. He said, "I'm getting old, Dad." I said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I'm 48. I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Being the father of a 48-year-old, that's old." But going way back. It's a story that is a true story. Our son, he went away from the Lord. He was baptized and went in the, about 17. He left home and he went off to live with a woman much older than him, and he lived there for a long, long time. And we were continuing to pray for him, and we really lost contact with him to a degree. We continued to pray for him, my wife and I. And eventually, after probably a couple of years, he arrived on our doorstep, completely disheveled, like we'd never seen him before. Thin, uncared for. He said, "I've got no home. I've got no home. I'm homeless." And the reply, for my wife who said it, said, there's always a home here for you. And it's like the prodigal returned. And he's gone off, and he got married twice. And the lady he lives with, she's been with him for 10 years. And he's, I keep telling him, my boys, you either learn from my mistakes or you learn from your own mistakes. And you, which is the easiest way? And he chooses to learn from his own mistakes. But I tell you what, he's now back in good relationship with us. And more importantly, he's back in good relationship with the Lord. And why is that? Well, it's the grace of God. The outrageous grace of God working in his life. We were instruments in that we carried on loving our son. We love all our children, of course. But it's like the outrageous grace of God has stayed with him. And I want you to receive that and understand that God has been outrageously graceful to you. And we're going to learn about that in a minute after we've done the next... What's the next? What's my place, Nick? Prayers. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your loving kindness and grace and mercy upon us. We thank you that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank you that we live by faith in Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, our Saviour and Redeemer. Thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit to nourish that faith as we live here on earth. Thank you that you're continuing to build your church, the bride of Christ. And as we look back over the years, we can see your loving hand has supported us through our lives. We worship and we praise you for your loving kindness. Father God, we wouldn't rush into your holy presence, but confess before you that even this week we have sinned in word and deed and fallen short of the glory of God. And as we confess our sins, remember your word that says that you will forgive us, and that you sent your Saviour Jesus Christ to redeem us and bring us back into that loving relationship with you. Amen. Okay. Let's hear from Bible reading. You can read that, Nick? Okay, if you've got the Bibles with you, that's Luke 15.
Before the next song, are we?
Hmm?
We're doing the reading before the next song, are we?
Yes, sorry. I've got out of order. Sorry, it's my fault. I got out of order.
Situation normal, really, isn't it, Chris? Okay, Bible reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 31. A very famous story which we know as the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, but as Martin says, could equally be called the parable of the loving father. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please, take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son." "Embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick! Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I have slaved for you, never once refused to do a single thing you gave me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money with prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours.' Amen."
Now we'll sing Father God. Can we go back a song? Sorry. It's probably very appropriate we sing this. "Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without your parenthood and your loving care. Now I am your son. I am so pleased. But the version that we've got here has got son, because son speaks of inheritance, whereas a child talks about a relative. But a son means even you ladies are sons of God. My wife will tell you, she said, 'I'm a son of God,' because you have the inheritance in Jesus. You get that? I don't see many noddings of heads. You get that? Yeah, come on. Because it's important. We don't make these songs politically correct. It's actually, it's a declaration in the heavens. You are a son and you're adopted in the family of God. It's so important. If you can, let's stand and we'll sing, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist. Okay. That one. Brilliant. Okay, so we're in Luke 15, 11 through 32. And we're going to be looking at the Father heart of God. And it's quite an interesting thing. Getting into today's reading. Let's put that down. The context of this particular passage in Luke 15 is Luke 14, and it's quite interesting to see that there are many, including tax collectors, sinners, were all gathered there, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." They were trying to find fault because of their own hypocrisy. The point is, Jesus loves all. Lost sinners, tax collectors, blind beggars, religious leaders, Roman legionnaires. But he went out of his way for lost sinners. I wonder who that means. Maybe that means you and me. Maybe that meant us. So this is a story for us. It's so up to date. It's also very applicable. It can be seen in various levels for the people who are there. Jesus illustrates this love for the lost by three parables as well. all of them were about lost sheep, lost coin, and son. The sheep wandered off. And the shepherd left the 99 to find him. You remember the story. The coin was inadvertently dropped, we guess, and the woman cleaned the house because it was so precious. The shepherds listening to this story would have understood how valuable a sheep was. But the Pharisees would have understood the scripture where they were supposed to be shepherds of Israel. Ezekiel 20:32-34. And Jesus was saying that you are neglecting the lost sheep of Israel, the sinners. As you see, it's in different levels. All would have understood the lost coin. It's a small amount. They say it was a denarii, but we don't really know. And it illustrates that all are important to the kingdom of God, even those who reckon themselves to be unimportant. Does this refer to you and I? I'm not worthy, we often say. You are made worthy because of Jesus. But the lost son, Jesus takes this to another level. The son deliberately chose to leave. The Pharisees would regard themselves as sons of Abraham, the father of the nation. And it would mean much more to them as the sons of inheritance. And so they would take an exception to this as we read through it. But all three illustrate God's heart for the lost. Now here's the thing. Listen to what the father does in the story, illustrating his loving heart. And I like to call this the parable of the loving father, because it's more about Jesus and his loving heart than it is about the son. The son says, I want my inheritance now. I want it now. And to divide an inheritance into two in those days was something that you just didn't sell the land. The land was stayed with the family. But he wanted to sell that land, get rid of that land. In fact, the son was saying effectively to the father, I want you dead. That's how serious it was. It was an outrageous thing to do, to spend the family's wealth. So we read the story that Nick kindly read for us. He was eating with the pigs. In verse 17 we read, he came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me one of your hired servants. So he got his prepared speech and he went to his father. How many of us have been eating with the pigs? How many of us have been eating with the pigs? To my shame, I know that I've been there. God has been gracious to me over the years, but you know, pursuing money, power, position, vanity, you name your own, but we've been eating with the pigs. But I found a great release, and a very good friend of mine gave this verse to me, 1 John 1:8-9. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. That doesn't mean you, it just means me. No, it means all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here we go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. That's the Father's heart for you. Our bit was to say, it's me. I'm responsible for what I did. I confess my sin. That's my bit. Okay? But our pride doesn't let us do that. Okay. Then this God comes rushing in with with this amazing act of grace. And he said, he will forgive our sins because he is faithful and just. And we're going to be singing about the character of God in a few minutes' time. But his faithfulness and justness. And he forgive. He will forgive. It's his part to forgive and purify us from all unrighteousness. He loves the sinner, but not the sin. And this is very up to date. So the son rehearses his speech, but notice the motive behind the prepared speech. He wanted a job. He wanted to eat. He wasn't necessarily repentant. We don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but he was looking for a job. That's what his speech says. However, see what the father does. See what the father does. Whilst he was a long way off. Verse 20. Let's read it. But whilst he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran towards his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. This is before the prepared speech. The father saw him. And that says to me, the father was there day by day looking out for the son. He didn't hold the son's actions against him. He didn't even first ask the son to confess and say sorry. Don't we do that? You say sorry first, just like the playground, isn't it? You say sorry first and then I'll say sorry. No, it's not like that. God's grace and mercy comes rushing towards us. And he was filled with compassion for him. He ran towards his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. This is the same son that said, I want you dead. And now this father has got great compassion on him. And he's saying, I love you, son. Verse 21. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So he's done this prepared speech now. But something changed. He's seen the father's action. He's seen that outrageous act of compassion. That outrageous forgiveness. And that's something for us to learn, is outrageous forgiveness in our lives. Not forgive, I forgive you because you forgive me, but one of, I forgive you. I forgive you because I have the strength of Jesus Christ to be able to do that. Okay. So I've lost my place. Here we are. Yeah, verse 22. The father said to his servants, quick! Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and put it on him. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive now, was lost and found. So Jesus is making the point. He was spiritually dead, but is now alive. Okay. The best robe. And the sandals. They're all signs of sonship. The servants didn't wear robes, the best robe. The servants didn't wear sandals. This, he was accepting him as a son. This is why I say sonship is so important to you, to understand what sonship in the Bible means. This parable is like one of many. Like the lost sheep and the lost coins, Jesus is illustrating the father's heart, not just for welcoming back the lost children, but legally seeing them from afar, with an aching heart that longs to restore us into this heart relationship. Not only does he look out for us, but he runs towards you. That was my witness. I was an atheist. Years gone by when I was at university. He ran towards me. He found me out. He even sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to pay the way back. The price is already paid for you to come back into sonship. Of course, we come to God and we make our excuses. I have sinned and fallen short, and sometimes doubt starts to creep in, and of course the evil one wants to do that. But however, in this parable, the Father saw the Son's heart of repentance. He's no longer the arrogant son who knew best and wanted his father dead. He was the son whose heart has been broken by the father that was running towards him. It was such an outrageous thing in those days for a father to lift up his robe and run. You can't imagine that. I can't imagine me running nowadays, but imagine that. That's really an outrageous thing. And that's what broke his heart. So, and the son is now humble. And he truly says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When we look at ourselves, we can empathise with this son. We can see our rebellion. We can see our pain, our shame. But the Father looks and he sees us, you and me, through the cross, through the resurrected Jesus. And the price is paid for our return back to him. Because of Jesus, we can approach the Father, who in turn loves to embrace with that robe of righteousness, not that we earned it. Notice too that the Father put a ring on the son's finger. The servant doesn't have a ring. The son has the ring. It's a real son. And we too are given a ring, God's Holy Spirit, a promise, a symbol of true sonship. And we are then brought into that communion with God. It's an amazing grace of God. You get it? I don't see too many noddings of heads. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Perhaps you don't do that in this church, that's fine. But it's like God is love. He created us in love. His heart is one that is always looking out for us. He sees the real heart of repentance, and the price for our return is paid. How much rejoicing is in the Father's heart. Of course, that wasn't quite the end of the parable. The eldest son didn't get it. He stayed outside the party in the parable and complained. And the father had to go out of the party. He had to go out and plead with the son to join the party. Verse 31. My son, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead. Is alive again, is lost and is found. You know, there's people in church, I'm sorry to say, that don't celebrate over the lost sinners that come in. And just keep reminding them they actually were sinners. And you just miss out on the party, the joy that's there. So how's the Lord challenging us in this one? This outrageous act of grace on the part of the Father that finally broke the Son's selfishness. Jesus made that outrageous act of grace on the cross and forgave us to restore us into sonship. But also, God loves to work in partnership with us. We sometimes assume it's all up to God. And you're going to be talking, I saw in the notices, about reaching out to Kettering, reaching out to the prodigals. Believe me, God's bringing the prodigals back to church. God is going to bring the prodigals. Are you ready, church, to receive the prodigals? You know, they're coming back. They're coming back in droves because they don't see the purpose in this life anymore. They've tried the pigs and the pigs don't work. You get the point? And they're going to come back. They're going to come back to Jesus. They're going to come back, not to organisation church, but they're going to come back to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I love it. So where do we get to? So in a few minutes, loves to work in partnership, us. So maybe we should be praying. Maybe we should all be getting together and praying. It's one of the great things that church is appointed to do, to pray. And when you finish praying, pray. And when you finish praying, pray. Yeah. That's, you're in Peter, it says, you should do this. You are priests. And what do priests do? You pray. And you carry on praying. And you're working in partnership with God. And sometimes we need to be actively involved in doing things. But first of all, to pray. We're going to be praying in a few minutes' time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And maybe kingdom starts with me. May your kingdom come with me on earth as it is now in my life and change me. Your kingdom as it in heaven, allowing his will of forgiveness to come rushing in and through me into the community. You get it? So maybe that's what he's teaching us here. But how can we be gracious people? How can you grace people? How can you do that outrageous act? It's not difficult. To the shop assistant, or the person on the bus, or your next door neighbour. How can you be forgiving to your child, to those people around you? It's not difficult. How can you run towards the people of Kettering? You get the analogy? I just challenge you on that, to run towards the people of Kettering. So, I'm nearly finished. So where are the prodigals in this church? Where are they coming from? Well, they're actually going to be sitting next door to you. They're actually living next door to you. They're probably your children. They're probably your nephews and nieces. They're probably your grandchildren. They are known to you already. They are people you know. Where are those prodigals? Keep praying for it. Are you praying for them already? Yeah. Thank you. I hear an amen. That's great. It's so important that we pray. And pray. I can't stress it enough. This outrageous act of stepping forward in forgiveness and running towards them. We don't do this because we ought to do it. We don't do this because we must do it. We do this amazing act of love because Jesus Christ did that towards you and me. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. It's in Ephesians 2. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that you, Kettering Baptist Church, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, Kettering Baptist Church, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and to Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And the church said, Amen. Okay. We have a time of quiet. God's been challenging us on a lot of things this morning, and I've just studied His Holy Spirit. So let's just be quiet. Father, you know our concerns and what's on our heart before that, even on our lips. We raise up now those situations and people that are on our hearts in the quiet of this time. Pray for those who were loved ones that used to be so close to us but have now gone away. And we lift them up before you. We pray for those people who were sick and who are in hospital. Each one is known to you. And they're known by name. And they're really close to us. And we lift them up before you, Lord. We love them so much. But how much more do you love them? Lord, we've talked about the prodigals in Kettering. We pray that they too would receive a touch of your Spirit this morning, that they would know you calling them and reaching out. We pray that you would enable us to be your hands and your feet, maybe sometimes your tears, to reach out to people. We cry out to you for mercy upon this land that knew you so well, this country that sent missionaries and so far abroad and away and spread your word amongst the whole of the world, and yet we have turned away from you, and we cry out to you for mercy upon this land. We pray for the missionaries who are supported by this church, Mark and Andrea Hopkins. And we lift them up before you, Lord. pray for the war in Ukraine. We cry out to you for mercy, Lord, upon that area. And in Syria too, Lord, we cry out to you for mercy upon that land. And Yemen, where people are starving. Lord, there are so many places that the way you need your touch. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now. Thank you for your blessing. Amen. Have we got the Lord's Prayer on the overhead? Okay, no worries. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, shall we, together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We've got a new song, I think, Nick. Can we still go?
The new song now, yeah.
Yeah. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Can I suggest we sit as we sing? This is probably one you don't know. It was new to Nick as well, so that's an achievement in itself. It talks about the Lord's character. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. He is good to all. He has compassion that all is he has made. As far as the east, where's east? Which way's east? That way? It's got to be.
That way.
That way. Okay. As far as the east is from the west. Yeah, it's that way. Thank you. That way. As far as the east is from the west. It's just a quote from a psalm. That's how he has removed our transgressions, our sins, our rebellion from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let's try and sing that, shall we?
Okay. This song has a lot of repeating phrases. So when you see the words repeat, the music will also repeat. So if you want to listen to me sing the first phrase, not only by conducting the thing, and then join the second time, and we will sing the whole thing twice.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has moved our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the
be very patient, and now we're on to the last song you were pleased to know. So it's song number 560, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I've told you know this one. So sound if you can, let's sing Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
But Father God, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We pray into your word this morning that we won't be just listeners of your word and hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon this church, upon your people here, to empower us in grace and mercy. And may God bless you and save you. May the Lord look upon you with his radiant face and have mercy upon you. May the Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Amen.